This is Fatima.
And this is Lizelle.
And this is Jerry. And we are the Sisters.
We really are sisters. And we're usually friends.
Most of the time.
Yeah, definitely. Most of the time.
Jerry. Sisters.
I'm here.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
Perfect. I can't find my
headphones.
No, I found my, I have several headphones. I can't find the, you know how my iPhone 7 doesn't have a headphone jack?
Headphone jack?
Yeah. So, and I.
This is why I use a Bluetooth.
Well, I have a Bluetooth device, but it doesn't work for some reason. I hate when I can't find something. Anyway, topics. How are you guys?
I inhale and I was making tuna. Ron comes home at like 5:15. He's like, don't you guys have a podcast? I was napping. I said, shit, I forgot. I'm like starving. So I like inhaled that tuna, man.
Creating a banh mi sandwich.
Yeah. I already hear that.
Yeah, there is anything around.
I really don't know what I did with it. Oh, well. You know
probably
what?
One, it's probably one of your other rooms.
Huh?
It's probably in one of your other rooms.
Probably. I always try and hide things, like, so I know I'm going to find it. Bless you. It's one of those, like, remember, this is where you're going to hide it so that you remember it. I still can't find the Sephora, my last Sephora order because I put it away somewhere.
I do the same thing. Oh, jeez, I'm tired. Okay.
So, topics?
I don't know. You're really good at coming up with them. Did you come up with another one?
Seriously, guys? You didn't even try and come up with any? You made it up for me?
I know. I always come up with them, but then it's like, to me, it's almost like, it never sounds interesting. Like, as interesting as when somebody else comes up with one.
Jerry?
I was looking, thinking, but...
But
it didn't have enough ump.
So, if you haven't found it by now, you're not gonna find it.
I know. It's like bugging me because I purposely like removed it from where I normally keep it. So that I would find it again, and now
you'll find it after we all disconnect.
Well, I'll just buy another one at this point. It's like really bugging me. Okay, no topics, right? I guess I'll pull up like the suggested. I have made a list.
Okay.
You guys are sleeping on this.
No, I think about it all week.
Really?
I do. It just never seems like Jerry says, it's not enough oomph.
Okay. I'm reading through my list. So... we could talk about sexuality, ways to save money. things you would change. Did we do that already?
Yeah.
Yeah, like regrets or something.
That's through sexuality.
Jerry, are you ready?
That's kind of general, no? Like, how do you want
the evolution of your sexuality?
As in being a female?
As in, I don't know. This is a very touchy subject.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe not.
So I have another, like, idea. This one is called Beach Ball. And it's more like if you imagine the three of us, like we're in a room, or we could do this by text, but let's try and do this like virtually. So imagine there's a beach ball, right? And the three of us are like in a circle. And the beach ball, like, you know how beach balls have like lines on them that separate them?
Yeah.
So on each side of the beach ball, there's an emotion. You know, joyful, silly, sad, lonely, depressed, whatever. And imagine us tossing it back and forth, this beach ball. And when let's say ball towards Jerry first, right? And I say, silly. So now Jerry catches the beach ball and she has to describe a time when you felt that emotion.
Oh, that's good.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Jerry, do you understand?
I don't, but if you guys start, I can catch on.
Who determines the emotion?
The person throwing the beach ball.
Okay, got it. So it would be like Jerry, like if she were to pretend like right now it's she starts, right? She pretends she's, okay, I'm going to toss it to you, is what she says to you. Cell tosses it to Jerry. And then she blurts out sad. And then
you have to describe a time when you felt bad.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Okay, so let's go birth order.
Okay.
No, Fatima, you're the one tossing the ball.
Okay.
You're going to toss it to me. Right. I toss it to Jerry. Jerry tosses it to you.
Okay.
Okay, so go ahead. Throw the ball at me. with an emotion.
Okay. An emotion? Or yeah. A moment? It has to be an emotion?
Emotion, a moment, just, you know, something descriptive.
Okay. I'm tossing the ball to Jerry.
No, you have to do it. Okay, go ahead.
You want me to do it to you?
Yeah, we were going to go in order.
Okay, all right. You're right.
Jerry, and then we'll go opposite.
Got it. Okay, so I'm tossing it to you. Shoot, what the hell? It was like a good one, too. Uncomfortable.
Whoa.
It has to be first memory.
Like right now. Okay. So I have to describe a memory where I was uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Don't overthink it.
I'm not. I'm like seriously thinking, like, when was I last uncomfortable?
Laying down.
5 hours ago.
A minute ago.
Uncomfortable. So if I take that as an emotion rather than physically uncomfortable, mm-hmm. let's say it's emotionally uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have one. It was just yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yesterday, yeah. So I got a phone call right in the middle of when I was eating, which I never like to do, and I usually have my phone off. Mm-hmm. But I had it on yesterday, and it was that girl, Cherry, who I just saw over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And Cherry, I used to work with Cherry. And Cherry called me because she had a question about something about work. So the guy who replaced me, who's also Filipino, by the way, his name is Jonathan. He apparently took a very different approach to the job than I did. I was much more hands-on. Uh-huh. He was much more like, you guys do what you need to do. you, I assume you guys had all the training, you know, and so someone got fired recently at our job, and he was like, Jonathan, the guy who took over, didn't know anything about what that guy was doing.
Okay.
So he assumes that Cherry, who was this guy's helper, knew what she was doing. So she called me and said, how do I do this and this and this? And this is something that's pretty basic. And so I started to explain it to her. Remember, I was in the middle eating. I started to explain it to her, but I kind of did it quickly because I was like, this is pretty basic. Like, it would literally be like, how do you use a chalkboard in my industry?
Mm-hmm.
And she was kind of like perplexed. And I was telling her, remember the logs I created, remember this, remember that. And I stopped myself because I started to get really uncomfortable. Like, why am I doing my old job?
Yeah.
And why am I helping her?
Mm-hmm.
And I started to feel kind of sick.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was PTSD. But my discomfort wasn't so much that she was asking me what to do or that I was being asked again to help somebody. It was more my discomfort had to do with how do I say no, which is very difficult for me. And I kind of, I still have a hard time with like boundaries.
Yeah.
Especially with my friends. And so instead of saying like, you know, I'm in the middle of something or kind of having composure to go, you know, just to tell her right out front, like, listen, I'm not comfortable. I think you should go back to Jonathan and ask him. Like, she felt like she was lost. Mm-hmm. She kind of like triggered me in that she reminds me of mom. You know how mom gets really helpless?
Yeah.
Like, how do I do this? How do I do this? Like, really quickly. And she's rushing me. And I'm trying to explain it to her. But really, she just wants me to give her the answer and not really put much effort into it. And I was like, I'm just incredibly annoyed. So I did explain. And when she was kind of getting it, you know, that was good. But then instead of saying no, I kind of just sounded really irritated, which I find easier for me at this point, which makes me much more comfortable than just saying no. So I find that I'm uncomfortable whenever I have to have a boundary with people who I'm friends with, who know me like as kind of a pushover.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the last time I felt uncomfortable.
People will always know you as a pushover until you push back.
I think it's easier to push back on people you don't have a history with because then, you know, that's who you are.
Right.
You know what I mean? To them.
Right.
But I find it especially difficult with people who I already know who, like, have never had that boundary.
Right.
Or people who you may not know, but still don't have any boundaries. And as much as like, I like her, because she's, I think, Filipino, she has this tendency to not have boundaries with me.
Right.
And, you know, if Marnie called me or if Manny called me, I don't think I would have as much issue with it because they would ask me in a different way. Hers was very much like mom, like sort of like.
She expected it.
Expected it, and also like she got the hint because she was like, okay, I know you're busy. Because when she first, I did say no, in that she said, are you busy?
Mm.
And I did say, yes, I am, but what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So, that what I did there was a lot more than I would ever do.
Mm-hmm.
So, in some ways, I'm making progress, but it's still uncomfortable for me because you know, it's not something I'm used to. Boundaries are not something I'm used to with people I care about,
right?
So, yeah. So now I have the ball, and I'm going to throw it to Jerry. Jerry, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to throw to you.
Big bucks. Come on, big
bucks. No whammies.
No whammies. No whammies.
Embarrassed. When was the last time you were embarrassed?
That was actually my first one, but go ahead. That's a good one too.
That's hard.
Yeah. See, not so easy.
Well, it's just I don't easily get embarrassed.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. But when was the last time you got embarrassed? When you were asked to discuss your sexuality?
You farted by accident?
In the hospital, maybe? I mean, it could be from childhood. It could be, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be current.
Right.
When you were given the Boy Scout manual?
Well, I mean, it's kind of sad that you guys had to remind me, but yeah, I guess that would be one of them.
Okay, come up with an original one now that you know what it's like to feel embarrassed. Oh, I know what. Were you embarrassed when you went with mom and you were, like, yelling because she's hard of hearing?
Yeah, so that's actually really good. Well, I was embarrassed, but at the same time, like, I had a mix of emotions. So I guess I should explain what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So mom and I were at FedEx, Kinko's, well, now FedEx, and we were supposed to make copies of some paperwork that she needed to, for the agent. And so it was like a bulk of paperwork, and I was getting a little irritable because I've already spent like half of the morning with mom. and so, you know, with questions and demands and, you know, heartburn while I'm eating, you know, because she demands things while,
pressure,
you know,
the pressure.
Trying to enjoy
the discomfort
the
that I felt like being put upon.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we were there, and so as we were going through the paperwork, I had reminded mom that I had sent her the text message information on what document she needed to copy, and she insisted that I did not send her the message. And so she started to get irritable, and she raised her voice because she said, "No, you did not give it to me." I said, "Mom, let me show it to you." So I went through my phone. I'm showing her the text messages. And I showed her the list of the information that I had given her to prepare so we can make copies. So as we're kind of bickering back and forth, or, you know, mom is really hard of hearing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in combination of me already kind of like, you know, having a little bit of anxiety, trying to make sure everything's in place, and mom being very hard of hearing and also arguing with me that she
hard-headed.
Said I did not, yeah, totally hard-headed. She was like saying, "You didn't give it to me. I never saw it. You know, you didn't tell me." So it was like basically like blaming me, like it was my fault. And so when that happened, some complete strange, you know, stranger lady who was beside us, she looked at me as she's walking away and she says, "You know, you're very rude to your mother. You need to respect her." And as well, I'm like, and in the meanwhile, my mouth is left open, you know, like, basically all I said to her was like, "Are you serious? Really?" And then so she's walking out, she's like, "Really?" So,
she
had already walked. Mm-hmm.
What's her nationality?
She was a Caucasian.
Mm.
You know, it's the area, too. You're very snooty.
How old was she, Jerry?
She was probably, I would say, I mean, she was, you know, well-maintained. So I would honestly say she was probably, you know, she may have been a lot older than what she looked like, but to me, she looked like she was definitely past retirement age. She was like late 60s, maybe early 70s, so probably close to mom's age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mom doesn't look her age really, but you know, she was very, you know, she was thick, like she knew she took care of herself basically. But my whole thing was, you know, and then so first I was like in shock. That was my first emotion. you know, and embarrassed because I'm like, was I yelling at mom? You know, what was going on? You know, so, and then all these mixed emotions, and I had anger.
Mm-hmm.
Because when she had already, like, close to be walking out, I said, you know, mind your own business, you stupid old lady. I mean, that was really wrong of me to say.
You said stupid old lady. I did.
Because I was so angry. Like, you don't know what's going on. You don't even, like, she's mind probably, your own business.
She's probably, FP, she's, FP. She's probably like, see?
FP.
Well, I was just so, like, you know, and in the meanwhile, of course, come to find out, like, when I finally told mom, you know what, since we don't have the final paperwork and there's too many copies, it's going to cost me, like, $50 just to make copies, and we don't even have everything, I told her, I said, let's just have them pick it up from you. So, which in the end, you know, that happened, but, of course, come to find out, the first thing she says to me after I made that decision was, I'm hungry, let's go eat.
Mm-hmm.
So her blood sugar was, like, really low at that point.
She's like a child. Mom's just reverted to a child at that age.
Yeah, she doesn't have to go to the bathroom, like, right now. She's going to be hungry, or she doesn't really get thirsty, but she gets hungry. She has to go to the bathroom, like, now. She can't wait. You know, like a child. So, yeah, I mean, that would be like, it was a terrible feeling because I felt like, because this is such a small community where we're at, it's almost like, with my luck, I'm going to run into her while we're having lunch, you know?
Yeah.
That's all I could think about, you know? So it's like, of course, as I'm walking out, I'm all being nice to mom. Like, okay, mom, so we're going to go eat. Where do you want to go? But at the same time, it's like, it's really difficult to converse with mom. I mean, even though I talk slow, low, loud, you know, it just comes off as, you know, being like, verbally abusive or being disrespectful.
Well, I think that just the physical aspect of speaking loudly, your mind goes to anger, meaning that your body is conditioned.
Oh, no. So anyway, yeah, so let me add on to that. So basically what she also said was, I mean, it was like, of course, in just like no more than two sentences, but she basically said, you're treating your mom like a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking, like, okay, because I'm talking loudly and slowly,
and especially
like,
since
I was like, mom, I'm like, mom, especially identity, you have it.
Especially since she's walking away, what a cowardly way to like point something out.
Right. So all I could think about was like, are we in that show? What would you do?
Oh, yeah.
You know? With so I'm like, waiting for that guy to pop up or something. Of course, I'm not the actress or anything, but...
John Quinones,
like,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, John Quinones. It's like, you know, what just happened, you know? I mean, happened to me ever.
She's probably thinking the same thing. She's probably thinking, am I in a... What would she do?
How can anyone disrespect their parents so much?
You know what's really interesting? I think, like, when I used to hear Yvonne talk to her mom, or one of my friends, like Carol talking to her mom, or Lisa talking to Rhea, it always sounded like so hurtful.
Yes.
Yeah. And it must sound the same when we're talking to mom, because I think we have like a shorthand with our parents, or just like a way of communicating that maybe already sounds irritated, and to other people it sounds harsh, you know?
Right.
And yet to us it's normal, because like when Lisa would talk to her mom, I'd be like, Lisa, don't be so mean. You know what I mean? But she was irritated. You know, so.
Yeah, I remember Lisa, definitely. I remember hearing her, you know, how she used to talk to her mom, and And her mom was, I think, also hard of hearing at her age. You know,
exactly, yeah.
Because I remember when she spoke, it was very loud. I mean, she spoke very loud. So, and you know, now, of course, as a teenager, I don't think that. But now, as I'm older, I realize, man, she really spoke loud. And maybe because she was very hard of hearing. And or she would ignore certain, you know, parts. And or just kind of like Lisa would, you know, like repeat herself, and to kind of ignore that. I remember that. I'm trying to remember, like, Gloria. I don't remember, you know, it was different. So, and I think, like you said, it's like, it's all like body language, communication, the content, so on and so forth.
I just know it does sound harsh. That, I mean, if it makes you feel any better, the same thing happened to me when mom and I went to Montreal. It was like a long day. That was the day she ditched me. Drove all the way to Montreal. She ditches me. I can't find her for like an hour and a half. I was so angry with her. We're driving back through New York. We go to a diner. And I was leaving like a $5 tip. And she kept saying, that's too much. That's too much. Like she was annoying the hell out of me at that point. And right when I was arguing with her, like, I had a toothache on top of it. And the waitress, because I was like, Mom, leave it alone. The waitress comes over, who I'm trying to give a good tip to. She's like, you know, you shouldn't talk to your mom that way. My mom died like 2 years ago, and I'd give anything to have my mom back. And I was like, you know what, lady, you don't deserve a tip. But I was so irritated, but I also felt ashamed because I was like, did I sound that bad? And you know,
but you were mad at her.
I was incredibly angry. Like, I had just been so irritated with her the whole day.
Whereas Jerry wasn't.
In all honesty, I think that people should just mind their own business because, you know, number one, you don't know the dynamics. I mean, you don't know the situation at that moment. You just, you know, I mean, it may sound harsh and mean, but like I said, like I was explaining to you guys, I've seen women mistreat their child, you know, in front of me. Like, they'll basically curse at the child, a 3-year-old child, 5-year-old child. They'll, like, smack them or something. I didn't get any of that. I wasn't even raising, I wasn't even cursing. I may have been raising my voice, but I wasn't saying bad words to her. I wasn't, and the content wasn't even, like, you know, bad. It was, like, informative. You know what I'm saying? So I can understand, like, I mean, to me, it's like, if anyone out there, honestly, people need to mind your own business, number one.
Unless, I don't know, Jerry. It's like, to me, it seems like elderly abuse. Elder abuse.
Yeah, I don't believe in minding your own business, but I wouldn't, like, just...
No, I mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. To the extent of thinking that you are disrespecting, you don't know what the content is. You know, I was explaining to her is, Mom, let me show you the text message. I'm going to show it to you. And Mom was like, no, you didn't. You didn't send it to me. I said, Mom. And she was talking over. I said, Mom, listen. I said, let me show it to you. I'm going to show it to you. And so I'm not like saying, shut the fuck up, old lady. Or I'm not saying, you know, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, it was nothing like that. It was like, it was just very like informative information. So,
I think where I would draw the line, and I don't know if you guys would agree with this, is like physical abuse. If someone was physically abusing someone, I might not personally get involved, but I would probably call, especially if it was a child.
That's what I'm saying. And I've seen that, and I've actually witnessed that, and it was horrible. You know, like, you know, I mean, this lady at Target. This was like back when I was living in the West Side. You know, the kid was basically, he was in the cart just sitting there. And he was like, just, you know, like a child talking, babbling about some useless information or whatever. And she was like, shut the fuck up. What did I tell you? Shut the fuck up. And she like smacked him, you know, on his leg and his hands. And it's like, wow. I mean, that to me is abusive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but really could be like, talking to your mom and like trying to explain to her, you know, I mean, that to me is like, I felt she was
out of line, but maybe because she's having issues with her daughter, you know how people are.
She was probably triggered.
Yes.
Okay, well, whoo.
That was awfully emotional. Okay, so now it's my turn. Jerry,
you have the beach ball, and you're going to toss it to Fatima, and you have to come up with, like, an emotion that's written on the ball.
The ball, there's something, right?
Made up.
Okay, like an eight ball.
OMG.
It's like, no, Jerry, you don't see the ball? I see the ball. Sel sees the ball.
I'm like, what's wrong with you? Did you guys text the ball? Did you guys send a message that I know where? Okay. Envious. Envy.
Ooh, good one, Jerry. Good one.
God, I'm the same way as you. I don't envy a lot of people. There's a lot of things, like, I'm not envious. That would be like, let me think. Usually things come easily for me, but like you said, it's something that you don't, let's see.
Right.
Envy. Oh, well, I mean, something, it's kind of not really serious, but it's like when we have a neighbor who's also selling their house and they closed the other day.
Wow.
So that's the only time I even like, not really even envy. It's just like, oh, finally they get to move on kind of thing. So, right. But
how long was their house on the market?
It wasn't long on there that very long, but they're at a good price range where they're, you know, it's still affordable to a lot of people. We're on the higher end price range, and you know, it's kind of.
Do you have more rooms? Is the house bigger?
We have a bigger house. We have a more updated house. We have, it's just more updated. It's just more in.
Well, I mean, in comparison, your house in comparison to some of the homes in that area, it has more. What's the word I'm looking for?
Upgrades.
Texture, perspective, yeah. Like, yeah. Just more appealing, like, on the outside. Mm-hmm. Some of the homes are kind of flat.
Curb appeal.
Yeah, but I think the reason why they're sold is because they have a hacienda, which is a completely separate unit from theirs that has, a kitchen. It's almost like an apartment in the front. And the person who had bought it was an Asian person. And, you know, they're probably going to turn it into, like, I don't know, a mother-in-law's quarter.
Mother-in-law quarter, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah, that was easy enough.
Okay. Now, Fatima, you get to throw the ball to Jerry.
Well, let me shake that one off. Okay, I'm going to toss the virtual ball. Happy. Basic.
Like, that's
true,
a good one.
Truly, not like joyful. Happy, like superficial happy, but like you felt the joy.
Oh yeah, I the most happiest I've been probably most recently, besides of course the kids starting school at, you know, Carolina starting middle school, Ethan starting college, Dante, you know, continuing with what he's doing. One of the happiest moments just recently was spending time with them to go to Vegas, just me and the kids.
Nice.
It was just like, you know, like, and I just happened to work some overtime, extra overtime, and I just happened to have gotten paid that weekend. So for me, it was like a plus, you know, because I had extra income because of the overtime I had worked. So it was almost like I didn't worry. It wasn't stressful. Like, I didn't have anxiety, like, how am I going to, you know, afford X, Y, and Z? And I was able to do a little bit more than I would normally be able to on another different payday or whatever. So, and I didn't have any major stuff due, like taxes or anything. So it was like, yeah, you know.
You were able to afford the $500 dinner.
Oh, that was kind of painful. I mean, that was.
That's always painful.
Yeah, especially since, you know, Carolina doesn't eat certain things. And I think Ethan was a little irritable because he wanted her to be happy and there was nothing. But luckily, you know, because it was a Bellagio buffet, you know, I was able to catch the lady with that was preparing the pizza. She put basil on it. I told her because she had just brought out the full cheese. And I said to her, I said, stop. Don't put any herbs on it. I just want the cheese. So I came back, like, really happy. Like, look what I got for you, Carolina. You know, so.
Is she really that picky, Jerry?
Yes.
Is she really that picky with her food?
Yeah. She only has, like, you know, certain food groups that, or foods that she'll eat. And even if she, even if, like, I can't just specifically say cheese pizza. The cheese pizza has to be prepared a certain way in order for her to actually eat it.
So weird. Really
difficult, yeah.
We never had that problem.
No. I was picky, but I learned to, you know, obviously eat. So, what, you know, I was glad because Dante, I know, could eat good. He was happy. He was content, so I know he would eat. Ethan, I have no problem with. You know, he would bring me back food, and he's like, Mom, they have caviar. He's like, you want some? I'm like, of course I want some. We're going to eat as much caviar as we can. I'm never going to be able to eat caviar again. And then when I ate it, I'm like, this is kind of, like, not very good.
It's
but
gross.
I don't care. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the black caviar is
like,
really
with
good.
Sour cream or cream cheese or something
That's
like that.
That's what they had. It was, like, a small pancake, like a little easy pancake. They had, like, a cream on top of it, and then they had the caviar. So we chose, like, he's like, okay, well, I'll bring you the red. Or the black. I said, I want all of them, the whole trio. So he brought me back all three. And so
did
I'm
he
like
it?
You know, the only one I liked was the black caviar because it had a hint of like saltiness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's briny.
Yeah. So that one I liked a lot. Not so much the red. Maybe because it reminded me of fishing. Like I was fishing for trout and that's what I would put out. But yeah, the black one for sure was really, really good. I didn't really know what to expect. It didn't really wow me, I guess. And I had no problem with Dante. He was like, but I felt bad because everyone was stuffed after that because I forced them to eat at least $200, $300 worth of food.
I'm sure
I said, we're going to stay here all night. I don't care. So, yeah, that was really, that. It was just, it was very so relaxing. I was able to rent out a, what are those called? At the pool?
Cabana.
A cabana, which I have never, I've always wanted to do all my life, like a bucket list. It's weird, but I've never done it before, ever. I've never rented a cabana, ever, because I never knew what it was going to cost or, you know, certainly I wouldn't be able to afford it or what have you, but it was really awesome. So, and it made them happy. That's all that matters. So there.
Nice.
And
okay,
I still
now,
think
Jerry,
back on it.
Oh, you get to throw the ball at me.
How about, oh, this is kind of easy though. Maybe not. Anxiety.
Yeah, that's the same as uncomfortable. I'll answer it. No, I'll answer it. Anxiety. When did I? Well.
No, I'll give you another one. Fear.
Ooh. Fear.
That's kind of tough for me. I don't know. Go ahead.
Fear and anxious kind of are the same, but let me see. Fear.
Well, I figure, you know, living out in the woods in Connecticut, I figure you have fear, like, almost every day.
Well, again, there's, like, emotional fear or physical fear. Well, let me think about this. When did I last feel scared?
A combination.
Or maybe from childhood, let me think. Like, really afraid. When was I really afraid? I think as I've gotten older, I'm less afraid, you know, but I'm thinking like they're superficial, like when you're watching a scary movie afraid, but this is kind of personal, but I think I didn't realize how afraid I was at the time. But the time where mom was really angry, to put it mildly, at Fatima, and Jerry and I were like watching, when we were watching the whole thing, I felt real fear. Like, to me, that was one of the few times, well, that's how I learned fear. Let me put it that way. That was probably my first real exposure, because what brought on the fear was I didn't know what to do. It was like, normally as the middle child, I could usually like bargain or placate or joke my way around something, or like play the middle person, like middleman, or negotiate, you know? And
yeah, I agree. That was pretty scary.
Yeah, this was one of the, I think it was my introduction to what fear is, and what it is really, if I define it, is the inability to know what to do. When I don't Helpless. Know what to do and feel out of control, that's when fear for me sets in. Like when Mr. Heckles was dying, I felt that same fear because I felt paralyzed.
Helpless.
Helpless, yeah. I think that's like my instinct at the time. I would say those two occasions were probably like my biggest fears. Like when Mr. Heckles was dying, I really had no idea what to do. Like I was at a loss.
And did you think, was the fear the thought of not being able to stop it, quell it, or that you guys were next?
No, it was the not knowing. It was, if I knew I was next, then I knew that I wouldn't be afraid.
Yeah.
You know, I would be anticipating pain, but I would have not been scared, because then I would know what was going to happen next. It was that I did not know what to do. Like it was one of those situations where I'm really at a blank, because, and I think like my therapist says, it's where kids learn like to disassociate, because you just like, in some ways, like it would have been easier if mom was like physically hurting me, because then I would know what to do, you know, like I would know how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I'm standing there and Jerry's next to me, the only thing I could think of was to like hide, which I don't like to do, but we hid in the closet. The two of us hid in the closet, and I just kept trying to. Jerry was crying. She was like,
"Yeah, I was hysterical."
She was.
Were you reacting, Jerry, to self's fear or to what was happening?
No, I was reacting to guilt.
Yeah, we were. I was. I think
like,
that's
I felt
why
like it was my fault. I
yeah,
was the cause.
It was your fault.
It was my fault, but it was really, really fault. But it was really my fault. But.
I mean, in a way, this is getting kind of deep, but my therapist says that whenever I have those moments when I do like disassociate, or I have this thing where I just don't like to do anything, or I kind of lapse, or I'll sit in my car, you know, and just like feel stumped. Like, I don't want to move.
You veg.
That's from sitting in the... She's like, you need to leave the closet. Because it's like my... Not a happy place, but it's like my carrier.
Yeah.
Like, the closet was the carrier for me. Like, Milo's carrier. And all I could do, which came natural, was to protect Jerry. And I think it explains our relationship, the three of us, where the two of you are, like, you know, siblings. And we're all siblings, but with Jerry, I think I've always been somewhat protective, like when she was being bullied, because it's all I knew what to do at that point. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that's when I genuinely felt fear.
You know, I have to tell you that experience I always felt was mine until you brought it up several years ago, or maybe like just a couple of years ago, just a few years ago, like very, like very recently. And I never really took into consideration you guys's
reaction,
experience, yeah, experience, and how it affected you, and you know, and how it conditioned you to be a certain way or to react to certain crises. But yeah,
well, all the easy, the hard, one of the things I learned to do as a result of therapy is to sort of take myself out of the situation and put it on the kids. So I think of like whenever that situation, I think if Jerry was railing on Dante and Ethan and Cookie were watching, yeah, like that would be incredibly painful for one, Dante, but at the same time, like what must Ethan and Cookie be going through? And mm-hmm. First of all, they don't get along anyway. I mean, they're kind of like, you know, Ethan.
They get along, they're actually exactly like one another, in a completely, like, it's just a really interesting relationship.
Yeah,
if you see how they interact with one another.
That reminds me of when Ethan must have felt the same way, because middle child, when he was he had went for a walk and he was really, really upset, and he called me because Dante and had stood up to his dad.
Yeah,
and I remember that. He was really afraid. Like he was like, I don't know what to do. He was so upset on the phone, and I said, well, first of all, the first thing you need to do is, like, because I wasn't there, there was nothing that I could do. Well, it wasn't the first thing, but I said, you really need to call your mom, because it's not something that I could, you know, interfere in. And so then he talked to you, and then he felt better, but he was like in genuine, like, oh my god, I don't know if they're gonna hurt each other or what, because you know, Dante can get pretty, he's a Gemini, so mm-hmm. Dante has a temper. So yeah, that's like kind of reminds me of it. But the whenever I think about, since the kids were born and I see their roles, and there's three of them, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think about like the things that I went through were so much more painful when you do think about the kids.
When you transfer it.
Yeah.
No, we're dealing with the stuff with mom in the house, and the agent had sent over some paperwork a couple weeks ago, and it had to do with the loan that mom took out with the city. And Jerry, I don't know if you remember this, but I called you kind of irritated because I had been triggered. Like, where is this thing for the $15,000? I don't see $15,000 anywhere. And you were like, it's page 4. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I was so irritated was I was like upset because the first page of those documents was a letter that I wrote. I mean, I knew immediately it was my letter because it was my handwriting. It was like, I recognized it immediately. And I was like, this is like from 1982.
That was so crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, 1982. So I was thinking, 1982, I was like in seventh grade, which is like what Cookie is right now. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I, like, could I imagine Cookie writing a letter for you?
Jerry, yeah, like, that's crazy.
It's like, that's when it starts to hit me that there's this impact of, wow, I was that age once, and that's what I was doing. You know what I mean? Like, that's
yeah, different times. I mean, there were different times, but at the same time, it's still relevant, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was like, I think Ethan was having a difficult time reaching Jerry, and so I think he tried several times. And then,
how old was he at the time, Dean?
He was in, was he in elementary, Jerry?
Was
it was
like
right
10,
after you guys. 10, it was right
either 10 or 11.
Yeah.
So Dante was 13.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dante was in middle school, and Ethan was probably like 10 or 11 at the time. So yeah, he and Dante had a huge fight.
Was this the chicken incident? Dante was hungry and wanted chicken or something?
I don't remember what the argument was, but I guess Ed just kind of, there was like a, you know, Dante, he stands up for himself. Now, Ethan doesn't really stand up for himself, but Dante usually did.
He's the oldest.
He's the oldest.
Yeah, so, you know, so Ed got really upset, and I guess to the point where he was like he felt, Ethan felt like he was being abusive.
Yeah, because you know how men show anger anyways. You're kind of a little bit, anger.
Wait, who did Ethan think was being abusive?
Ed.
Oh, Ed. I thought he meant Dante. Okay.
No. So, yeah. So then, you know, it was, I don't know. I don't know the whole, you know, what happened. I don't remember what happened, but it was just a really uncomfortable moment. And I guess, you know, Ethan being, you know, a very sensitive person, of course, and not used to seeing that, he had to walk out and walk away. And so he was, like, really in distress.
Hmm. It's good that he didn't, you know, he didn't stay at the house. Like, he knew where to go, I guess, or just to walk away.
Right. Yeah, he needed to go for a walk. So he walked around the block because he felt like, what can I do? I don't want to be there when it all comes to blows kind of thing.
Hmm. And Jerry and I hid in the closet.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had a closet to hide behind. He's probably feeling like, okay.
Yeah, more exposed. Like, we kind of both froze. Like, we were both standing there, and then I'm like, come on, let's go. Yeah. And we hid in the closet.
Yeah, it was very vivid. I'm still very vivid in my
mind. Oh, yeah, it smelled like cat poop, because our cat had pooped in
there. I mean, it's like, you know, you were in the kitchen, and it was in a small apartment, and we were, like, right there at the living room where your dad used to fall asleep on that couch.
Yep.
I remember I used to hide food that I would prepare an entire meal at Cookie's age. I don't even know how old I was then. I was in junior high. So, yeah, I was in Cookie's age. No, I was still in elementary. We were still going to Rosemont.
You were probably in sixth grade, fifth grade.
Yeah. I remember preparing an entire meal for the family, and he came over. And he was hungry. And I'm like, oh, hell no.
I remember that. I have that memory, too. And I was scared then, too. I was scared because it was like, are we going to open the door? Are we not going to open the door?
Right.
We're looking at each other.
Stranger. Right.
Yeah. And Ging is like, no.
I mean, it's just incredible because, you know, in hindsight, if you tell anybody, you know, nowadays or even back then, that this person who hasn't been in your life for 20 years decides to come into your life, or not even 20 years, but I mean, like 15 years or whatever. And then it's like, as if like nothing had ever happened, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing was ever discussed, you know?
Well, like, he was drunk, I think. I'm pretty sure he was drunk.
Yeah, he has a drinking issue.
He, well, it's actually gambling, but it kind of transfers.
Both. Yeah.
And we, like, there was no comfort level. Like, we didn't know what to say or do with him or without mom there.
Mm-hmm. Right. That was very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, what do we do?
Well, just like when I was in college and he gave me a call in the middle of the night. It's like, who the hell is this? It's like, hello? This is your father? Okay. I don't know if he wanted to come over. He must have been, but it's almost like, I don't even know you.
Was he drinking? Was he also drinking?
Yeah, he was drinking. He probably came from a casino.
Can I ask you guys a question? How come you're nice to him?
Nice?
Ooh. Or compliant, I guess?
No, or just not angry, you mean?
Not angry? Civil?
I'm not angry because...
Or disappointed, disgusted.
Oh, I'm totally disappointed. I'm not necessarily disgusted. There's one reason why I'm not nice to him, but I tolerate him. And I don't speak to him anymore. But if he called me, I would be completely civil. I would hear him out. Because he did one thing for me that I thought was above and beyond the call of duty for him. And that was when Lulu died. I knew that Jimmy was going to be there. And so I called our dad, Felix, and it was the first time I said anything to him about what had happened. Like, this happened to me when I was a child. This person's going to be there. It's mom's family, and I just would feel better if you were there. I guess because he's my dad. Like, I felt like I needed some sort of, like, because, you know, he's not really a part of that family. He's not part of the Embassins. Mm-hmm. And I knew it took a lot for him to show his face to that side of the family. And but then he rationalized it. He's like, yeah, I'll do it. Like, I told him I would never ask except for this reason. And he appeared and he stayed and he made sure I was okay. And then he left. And that's really the only reason I still consider him my dad. Because he is. That's like one act of, because I know how he is with shame. Like, he doesn't ever want to see mom's family, you know. And so I think, like, that's the one act he could have done for me, and he did. But even if he hadn't done that, I would still know he's my dad. And it might be different for me because I resemble him, and I was close to Lula Terry, you know, his mom. So I don't know. I think I would always be civil.
Yeah, it's funny, but I'm not a bitter person. Not that I'm saying that you are or that I should be or that's what you're insinuating. I'm just somebody who, first, I was conditioned growing up to respect your elders. That's one. And two, his abandonment, whatever you want to call it, I never took personal. Like, it wasn't me he abandoned. He abandoned the family. He abandoned mom.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as like, it would almost be like, it would feel to me out of the ordinary and foreign if I treated him badly. Because for me, in order for somebody to treat somebody badly, it would be because they personally did something to me, like personally. So,
I feel like in some ways, I feel like he did probably ended up doing us a favor.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's no doubt. But I think for me, the way I see it is, I don't feel like he abandoned me for sure because he didn't even know me. He knew that I was going to be born. But what upset me, and maybe because of the influence of mom or whatever throughout the years, is he abandoned mom. And not just his family, his children, but mom.
You know,
who had his children.
Do you think the reason maybe you have more resentment towards him is because you have kids, like you actually gave birth?
I didn't know him. So, you know, I only know of what was told to me, and it's pretty much justified. On a personal level, like I said, and I explained from the last week, was, you know, it's like I gave him a chance, you know, and for somebody who hadn't been in my life for 20 years, really didn't deserve a 3-month chance, you know, 6-month chance that we had spent time with him and his family, you know, it's like a long standing, you know, so I was able to forgive in a sense, and move on from, you know, like a mom being concerned, like, oh, you know, all that he's done, you guys are just gonna like allow it. It's like, no, I still gave him that opportunity regardless, but he failed again because of his own personal issues.
I think that for me, it's like the reason why I don't go there is that gives him, it would mean that it mattered. That I think that it would matter that he treated me better, or that it mattered that he shouldn't have done what he did. To me, it's almost like giving him too much power to think or feel anything about a situation involving him. And I don't want to give him that power. He's just not worth it on any level.
Well, I think what's fascinating to me, and I'm just kind of thinking about this, is I probably have more issues with mom than I do with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, growing up, like, in fact, I probably should have more issues with him, like feeling resentful, being disappointed, whatever. But because I was around mom, because I actually have a history with mom, I think I get triggered more with issues around mom than I do, like, with Felix. You're right. I just I had no expectations. I did when I was younger, but at this point, the guy has pretty much disappointed me.
Yeah.
I have no more expectations.
Right.
Like, I don't think I could be disappointed further.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, if he came back around and said, you know, I'm in therapy, I realize I have a gambling problem, I have a drinking problem, I have my mom, you know, if he, like, suddenly, like, wanted redemption, I would be kind of, like, I would take it with a grain of salt and, you know, you know what I mean?
I think maybe also because of our one and only conversation that we had prior to your banquet, was that it was like it was blaming, you know, anybody else but himself. And that was like a first impression last at that moment. But I still gave him a chance after that because of his family. But, you know, it was like I literally was on the phone with him for almost 2 hours. And Ed was there, and I was pregnant with Dante at the time. And so it was like, everything that came out of his mouth was like it was other people's fault. And there's nothing, you know, like more irritating than somebody that doesn't like, you know, that's not going to own up to what they did. Especially, I mean, I'm not talking about something simple, owning up to something simple. I'm talking about something that's serious, you know. Not once was there an apology. Not once was there, I messed up. Not once was there, you know, I really...
Oh, no. I mean...
And I know it wouldn't come from him. I mean, I don't, like, think about him. You know, he only affects me or triggers me when we talk about it in a sense where it's like, you know, and I think the main thing for me, because I'm so close to mom, is the influence of mom. How she influenced me into really, like, despising him.
And well, so, I think
I don't really have a feeling towards a person who I've never known.
Yeah,
but as an object, as a father, as a dad, whatever, as somebody who, you know, you've seen growing up and all your life, you hear people have. I've never had that. What's that word? I've never envied anybody who had a father, and I didn't because I don't know what it's like. It's almost like a brother. I've always wanted a brother, but not a father.
That's funny.
I've always wanted a dad, and you know, in some ways I think some of the men I've dated have filled some of those roles for me, like, you know, they're older, whatever, you know, the typical typical Freudian whatever. But I think I knew with Felix there was two occasions where I pretty much was like, if I had ever had any hope, it was gone. When I would say the second to the last time I spoke to him, remember, Ging, I was avoiding him. Like, I wouldn't even listen to his voicemail. I had to call my voicemail and delete the message. Because mm-hmm. I was avoiding him altogether. Was when he was getting divorced from Edith. And I asked him, like, point blank, like, well, what happened? And he said, well, she was angry because, like, he did something, of course, financial, where he signed her name on something. And it was... you know, because he was gambling. And I said, well, you know, why?
Deceitful.
Yeah. So I said, well, why did you do that? And he said, because I needed the money. And then I said, well, I guess, have you ever considered that you might have a gambling habit or something like that? And he kind of laughed and he said, no, I gamble because Edith made me gamble. Like, she stresses me out. So therefore I gamble. And that was his rationalization. And when he said that very moment, I was like, oh, this guy's never going to take responsibility.
No.
If he's blaming Edith for his gambling problem, there's a problem.
And he's been gambling all his life.
You know, so, and then, you know, we know what happened, like, around Christmas time when I showed you guys the Facebook thing. Like, that was the last time that, like, to me, it was like, okay, this pretty much, like, is icing. Like, if he is with that girl and he did give birth to another child, I really, like, I'm not angry. Like, I'm like Ging. I'm not angry. I don't take it personally. I just, you know, it's kind of like, he's still my dad, but I don't have any real emotion around it.
Yeah, I've never lusted to have, it, not lusted, I've never felt like I wish I had a dad. Yeah, longing to have a father. For me, I've always longed to have a mom. I still do.
Well, that too.
Like a mom, because I've always been the mom. And the dad, but I identify more women in general. So I've always longed to have a mom.
And I think I've always longed for a dad because I always thought it would be my dad's role to protect me from mom.
Mm-hmm. I've always wanted a brother. Isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. But you know, what's really, because I was so close to our cousins, you know, specifically Darwin and Jason, that it was like, you guys are just my cousins, you're not my brother. And they've always looked out for me, you know, in a sense.
Yeah,
but at the same time, it wasn't that same connection. Like if it were my true blood brother,
right?
Okay, well that was longer. That was fear.
Okay,
so my turn to throw to Fatima. When was the last time you felt, or describe a situation when you felt resentful?
Resentful?
Yeah.
A situation where I felt resentful. I feel resentful a lot when I'm treated or when I'm unacknowledged.
And when was the last time that happened?
Something as simple as I'll ask you guys a question in the group text. Like I said, do you guys even... I get passive aggressive and I said, do you guys even read anybody else's text but your own?
You know, it's funny. And then I was like, I'm not responding to that.
Mm-hmm. I've always.
I'm sure Jerry didn't even see it.
Yeah.
I read it, but I just ignored it.
Exactly.
But that's what I'm saying. I think, ever since I was young, I've always had this thing about being invisible. And it has nothing to do because I'm not somebody who seeks attention. I'm not anybody who... It's just because I'm somebody who always treats people the way that I'd like to be treated. I always feel like I always give 100% of myself to people. But when I get less than... And I know it's not about me. It's about them. Blah, blah, blah. But that does not change how it affects me. I get really... what is the word that you said?
Resentful.
Yeah, resentful.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious though. Let's get back to that. So I'm curious. Mm-hmm. Do you really, really, honestly feel like people are not giving you anywhere near 100%? I mean, not just not any specific person, but
not in the way that I envision it to be. Like because with me, I'm the everything I do with people, it's always connected. Like everything is about a feeling for me. Like, I don't...
So do you think it's you, or do you think it's the other people?
No, I think
it's... how you perceive it.
Yes,
because that person may be feeling like they're giving you a lot more than...
But that's what I'm saying. It has nothing... I know it's not about me. I know it's about that person, the people. Okay, I know that. But that does not... It doesn't... change the how I feel about it. I'm more
hence resentful.
Yeah, because what happens for me, and this happens with everything that happens for me, because like I said, I'm somebody who gives more than 100%. With, you know, I go out of my way to connect. It's always about a connection with me, with people. Is that when they I lost my freaking train of thought.
I noticed, Fatima, with you, like when you ask a question, like, when are we doing the next podcast? And Jerry and I kind of talk like, okay, 8, 4, 5, whatever. And Jerry, you kind of have to go through the text messages, and we've already agreed.
Yeah.
And then you have to ask like 3 more times.
Because like, your answers,
okay, I'm exaggerating. You have to ask like 2 more times.
Because it has to be a statement. You can't just assume I'm going to understand. I don't speak. You know what I mean? It has to be. You can't just say okay, but it's like okay, what? Like, well, what time?
Okay, I know. I noticed that, which I think is your point. Like, you have to connect on that level.
Yes.
Where it has to be. Whereas Jerry and I are like, okay, understood, and then we move on.
Yeah, and like I said, ever since, and this isn't new, this is something ever since that I was young, I've always felt like I was punished for over asking because I'm trying to quell my anxiety of being on the same page with everybody. That, you know, like when I was asking too many questions with mom about some TV show, and this was like, God, I can't even give you an age. I was probably like 7. And there was some program on television, and we were in the Philippines, and I had asked her, mom, like, I had all these questions, you know, I was watching by myself. As a kid, you want to engage, right? Well, that's one of the other, you know, blow up moments she's had with me, where she, you know, completely blew it out of proportion. And it was almost like it diminishes you as a person, because you're asking a question with somebody who you're trying to connect with, or that you're trying to, you know, to kind of quell or your insecurity. And then instead of being, you know, I don't know, supportive or trying to guide you through it, she, you know, she completely, like, I get abused for it. And it's like, really? Like, just for, and then the statement that's constantly made, not just by her, but you guys do the same thing, is that your mouth will always get into trouble. You're really blunt. You know, it's almost like you're punishing me. You're punishing me for being myself. Like, how could I be anything else?
Well, that's not being blunt. Asking too many questions is not blunt.
But that was as a child what you understood, that you shouldn't have a voice. Just shut up. You know?
Yeah. Well, for me, it was almost like, don't disturb the monster.
Yeah.
Don't disturb. You know, like, you're asking too many questions. You're drawing attention to us, and we're gonna get punished.
Right.
Or you're going to get punished, and then we're going to get punished.
But because I've always felt like I was invisible, I'm constantly in need of validation of one form or another, even if it's just, I push it, because it's like, give me a time. Like, I need specificity.
And I'm the complete opposite. I like sort of that anonymity or invisibility of being safe in the middle, like, below the radar, and mm-hmm. if anybody's calling attention, I start to get anxious. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? You're waking up the monster.
Yeah, that's true. Well, my response to what Jerry was asking me about it being everybody else, you know what? Honestly, all my life, I've constantly said to myself, it's not me, it's everybody else. But what happens is the pain it causes me, it doesn't, constantly doing that, it diminishes the discomfort I'm making myself feel. And I don't want to do that. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, I can make excuses for everybody's behavior, not conforming to what I need from them. However, by constantly doing that, it diminishes my need for it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, no, I think
you bitch. You're such a bitch. So missed it. No, so completely missed it.
No, I didn't. You were like, Jerry was like, are we supposed to say something?
No, she said, I'm sorry, were you saying something? like I said.
Sorry. I'm sorry, is it my turn now? Mm. Is it my turn to throw the ball?
I wasn't sure if it warranted a response.
No, I think that, you know what I think it is, Fatima? I think that because this is the way I think about it, the way we grew up, like, so much was unexplained to mm-hmm. me. Like, there was nothing, it really, like, everything was just, like, assumed, or, mm-hmm. like, there was a lot of things that just weren't explained, and kids need, like, a lot of explanation.
Yes.
Like, this is what's going on. And for me, I just didn't ask, because I knew that by asking, we would get in trouble.
Or because you were the middle child. We never take into consideration our roles in the household.
Well, I felt that way because I saw what happened when you asked.
Yeah.
It's like, exactly. Well, in other words, I did the complete opposite.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it's causal, right? If you ask or you keep asking, you're going to get hurt.
Well, so it was practical.
I wouldn't want to do that to myself.
Yeah, but it was practical. It was a practical thing for me to make sure everybody was on the same page. Because remember, I was, apart from mom, I was second tier. Meaning
right.
that I had to get all the ducks in a row. or I get punished regardless.
Exactly. So exactly, which is why I saw what would happen. And what I'm saying is because so much was not understood, mm-hmm. not explained to us, mm-hmm. I see why you were asking, because I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I'm exactly the same way, like at work, like, are we sure about this?
Right.
You know, like that. Confirmation.
Yes.
You know, affirmation. But as a middle child, or as the childhood that we had, I saw what would happen in our own environment if you did that. Like, yeah. you would get in trouble. And for me, I was safer not to ask.
Yeah, and I also think because you were the middle child, you had the, what is the word?
The advantage.
The advantage, because you always had somebody above you, like me, who would make sure that I kept you guys all on the same page, so we all answered to mom. You know what I mean? So you
didn't have that. Yeah, but I also, yeah, because mom naturally... So you had that responsibility.
Yeah, so you didn't have that extra responsibility of making sure that everybody was on the same page. You
exactly,
just, you
but
just
I also
showed up.
Saw that, but that doesn't mean I didn't have questions. And when I did, right. I would rather not ask.
Right,
including
right.
not asking you, because I would see like, okay, maybe asking you would get me into trouble. This is why whenever you gave direction to me and Jerry, and it was very clear, like, I'm going in the shower. When I get out of the shower, this house better be clean. Uh-huh. Jerry and I would like screw around because mm-hmm. we're like, he's not the boss of us.
Well, that's because you guys didn't get the wrath.
Remember, Jerry, we were like, I remember so clearly we were living in Rosemont, and she would be like, by the time I get out of the shower, I want these beds made. And Jerry and I would be jumping around on the beds.
Yeah, I mean, imagine Dante doing that. Imagine Dante being responsible, or he was going to get it if none of that stuff and nobody, you know, so he says, okay, I have a moment to take a shower. By the time I get out of the shower, you know, you guys better be doing your part. And then the other
yeah,
two
but
are
we
screwing
did
around.
Not see, we did not, we didn't, you know, we weren't that, we weren't like thinking cognitively.
Yeah, right.
He's going to get in trouble. We were just like, well, whatever. Uh-huh. Whatever, we're gonna like we did the complete we were kids we did the complete opposite
yeah.
of what we were told.
And you like, know what, my OCD is also conditioned upon making sure that everybody is like, you know, the checking at the door, like, you know how I suffer from like literal OCD is because I had to make sure everybody was safe or I
well,
was gonna get it.
Well, that's kind of like remember a couple of podcasts ago, I'm like, you know what? You're really bossy.
Mm-hmm.
It triggered, like, you're like, I have to be.
Yeah.
Because that was my role. And I'm like, well, you saw what you did when you were bossing me around. I would actually purposely not do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was my way of saying, you can't control me the way mom's controlling you.
Yeah.
I'm free. I'm doing whatever I want to do. And then I had a partner in crime, which... he was even better.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna get in trouble with myself.
I mean, really, you guys weren't really accountable to anybody but me, and it was easier for you guys to screw around. I was always accountable to mom, the higher power.
Right. You know, we were accountable. Like, you would get mad at us. You
yeah,
would.
But okay, but really?
Really? It wasn't fun, right, Jerry?
Well, I think because, you know, we had a partner in crime, I think that made it easier. But I think
yeah.
it was just you or it was just me.
Yeah.
I think it would be really, I yeah. probably would be pretty fucked up right now.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Uh-huh.
So. That's interesting. Okay, so is it okay, so that was all the way around. Mm-hmm. What time is it, guys?
It's dinner time. It's 7.
Let's see, how long have we been recording?
An hour and 18
An hour
minutes.
And 18.
Oh, I think we are now full circle.
Mm-hmm.
So unless somebody
wait, has... how many emotions did you guys get?
I got 2.
So did I.
Yeah, like I said, we went full circle.
Jerry,
we went...
did you get 2?
Jerry got 2. She got happy and embarrassed.
And what?
Embarrassed.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we each had 2.
Yep.
Are you sure? Do we need confirmation? Should we go back?
Nope. I'm usually right. You always make fun of me, but I'm always right.
Go through the list.
I'm just being quiet, man.
Come on, Jerry. You're my little partner in crime.
You first. It's like a war, right? A battle.
So let's close with this one, and then we'll leave it at this and no explanation about why you're going to answer the way you're going to answer. We could take it up next week. If you, let's go in birth order. You name the sibling or the person, including yourself. You can nominate yourself of who's the bravest among the three of us.
Bravest? Emotionally? Yes.
Just in general.
Oh, you mean like from the experiences?
Just in general. Like
your view. Okay.
Who's the bravest?
Are we answering now?
Yes.
Me.
Oh, now?
Yes.
So me. We're saving it for next podcast.
No, you can explain it next podcast.
Me.
So well, I'll have to think about it.
Oh, my God.
Okay, who's the most confused?
Jerry.
Oh, God. Okay.
What's your answer?
Huh?
I know my answer is not me.
Sel, what's your answer?
Who I think is the bravest?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Sel.
I actually think it's Jerry. That's who I was. It's the way we all define brave. That's interesting.
Okay.
Well, that's for next week. Who's the bravest? Yeah. All right, sisters, salamat. Have a good night.
All right.
All right, have a good night.
I love you guys.
Love you. Night.
Bye. Bye.